When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Ethan Warren.
And this is the very special Emergency Henton Caper.
Listen, folks, I blew it. I'm enough of a grown-up to admit that I blew it. Actually, I tried to blame Blake, but he wouldn't let me, so I guess I have to be a grown-up about it. Do you know Patrick Willems? He's a video essayist, he's sort of brilliant, and so funny, and nice, and cool, and he's been a big influence on how I talk about pop culture. So I obviously wanted to talk about the Muppets with him, and Patrick only wanted to talk about one thing, the Great Muppet Caper. He loves it, he had a lot to say, we had a great chat. And then guess what? I did not dump that chat into the folder I sent Blake, so you did not hear Patrick talk about the Great Muppet Caper. I told you, I really blew it here. But as my way of making it up to you and Patrick and whatever higher power blesses podcasts, we are now going to present Patrick's chunk on the Great Muppet Caper as its own minisode. Please enjoy.
I think if we're being objective about things, and it's silly to be objective about, like, movies and art and stuff like that, but the Muppet movie is probably the best Muppet movie, just in terms of the balance of everything, the quality of the music, all of that stuff. It's probably the best one. I think The Great Muppet Caper is my favorite, and I also think it has been my favorite since I was like 6 years old. And so many of these, like, revisiting this movie, I haven't seen it in quite a while, and revisiting it for this, I was reminded of how kind of foundational it was for me in terms of in terms of establishing, like, my taste in certain ways. A thing that I was trying to figure out, because this is not like an especially unique thing, but I really have a thing for heist movies. And just sort of the, like, heist format and structure and all of that. Like, my senior thesis film in college, I made a heist movie and as research watched, like, basically every heist movie ever made. And I'd always trace this back to my parents showing me the original Blake Edwards Pink Panther movie when I was around, like, maybe 8 years old. But revisiting The Great Muppet Caper, while it's not quite the same kind of traditional heist structure because the protagonists are trying to prevent a heist, not pull off a heist, I definitely saw this first. And so many things just... especially the sort of, like, you know, traveling internationally, people dressed in, like black turtlenecks running around on rooftops, grappling hooks and stuff like that. I think this was kind of my first exposure to that kind of thing, and it really, like, imprinted itself on my brain. But beyond just that, because all that heist stuff doesn't really involve Muppets, that's Charles Grodin and, like, a team of supermodels running around stealing jewelry. But this is, I think, The Great Muppet Caper is, for me, the ideal balance of, I think, what a Muppet movie should be. Like, the Muppet movie, it's an origin story. It is showing you how the Muppets came to be, how they all got together, how they met each other, and how they went to Hollywood. And then, you know, everything happened from there. And so leaving off of like where, so picking up from where the Muppet movie leaves off, or also picking up from where the Muppet show leaves off, these characters are basically a bunch of performers. They are all actors. They put on a weekly television show. And I think The Great Muppet Caper is the best version of, if we're what we're looking at as like the in-universe story of the Muppets. Like, oh right, they transition from TV to movies. And if these are, if we look at like Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy and Fozzie Bear as actors, I think The Great Muppet Caper is the ideal version of the movie that they would make, in terms of the right balance of the fourth wall breaking, anarchic Muppet self-awareness, but then also inserting them into what feels like a very kind of classic, older Hollywood kind of big movie. So much of this movie could easily be, like, so much of this movie, even taking the Muppets away, could have been made in, I feel like, especially the late 50s or early 60s. Especially you look at the musical numbers and you've got things like Miss Piggy's kind of water ballet, you know, dance sequence, which is, like, I'm not an expert on that subgenre of movies, but it's the same thing that, like, you know, in Hail Caesar, that, like, Scarlett Johansson's character is appearing in, like, that kind of thing. You know, like, having these protagonists who are, you know, like, up-and-coming journalists trying to make their name by breaking a big story and traveling off to London, you know, to hobnob with like, rich people in the fashion world. I really think it is the ideal use of the Muppets, and there's a part of me that wishes that, you know, while I really like the Muppets Take Manhattan, and then of course after that you've got, you know, let's insert the Muppets into various, you know, classic literary adaptations, I would have loved to see more things like The Great Muppet Caper, where it's like, okay, let's pick, let's pick classic genres or types of movies from, you know, from like the golden age of Hollywood. I'm thinking 40s up through like through mid 60s, and drop the Muppets into that kind of thing, because these movies are always going to be musicals, and so you can riff on different styles of musical from that time. But also because, you know, these are very, like, PG-rated characters. I think that they drop very well into that somewhat more, like, innocent time. And just, like, the style and tone and structure of those types of movies. And it's such a natural fit that I kind of like, as much as I love the Muppet movie, I do love that this gets started right away, where it's, like, you have the opening title sequence, which is, to me, the perfect kind of Muppet fourth wall breaking, where it's literally these three guys in a hot air balloon just commenting on the opening credits as they appear and getting kind of impatient because they're still going on. And then they just essentially crash land and then are like, well, it's time to start the movie. And then they're just in a movie right away. And I'm just like, imagine if, like, every 2 years there had just been, well, here's the Muppets in a new movie. And, I think it's a perfect format, and it's also, I think, maybe the funniest Muppet movie. Just in terms of, like, jokes per minute. I genuinely believe that the running gag of Kermit and Fozzie being identical twin brothers who are constantly mixed up gets funnier every single time it happens. I think it's one of the funniest running jokes in any movie ever made. It never stops being funny, and it's such a silly joke. Perfect movie, big fan. I think it's really good, and also Kermit riding a bicycle in the Muppet movie is a spectacular special effect. And I'm aware of how it's done. You know, there's like, you, I will say on Blu-ray, you can see the strings suspending Kermit's bicycle in the Muppet movie. Still looks incredible. But you know, HD does, you know, reveal the details. But the way they level that up in The Great Muppet Caper with so much bicycle riding, and so much more complicated bicycle riding, where Kermit is standing on the seat and doing tricks, and he and Miss Piggy are like, you know, they're riding their bike in circles and all of that. The strings are basically imperceptible, and it is, despite being aware of how it's done, I still think it is one of the more staggering special effects ever put in a movie. This movie is 42 years old, and still watching that, I'm staring awestruck at the TV, just wondering, how is this possible? These are wide shots with their full bodies visible. There are several people riding bicycles, not even in straight lines, all together in the same shot. It's like, any knowledge of how it is done, it doesn't matter. It's still like, it doesn't seem possible. You don't think that silly comedies about puppets are going to contain some of the most jaw-dropping special effects and just truly impossible visuals you've ever seen, but here they are. And so what I'm getting at is this movie has everything. I do think that that Peter Falk scene is one of maybe the great one scene performances, let's say, of the 1980s. To get a little, you know, I don't want to get too broad and say of all time, but of the 80s, just like, Peter Falk had a long and wonderful career, but that monologue that he gives on a park bench sitting next to Kermit is just him absolutely bringing his fastball to this really, really small role. And it's incredible. I sat there giggling like a moron, for the entire thing, despite having seen it before and knowing what was coming. It's so, like, this movie is lighter on this movie is lighter on cameos than the Muppet movie. They're not like quite as rapid fire, like, you know, coming every scene, but the ones they have, I think, really, really count. Like the extended John Cleese sequence is, it just gets funnier as it goes on. And see, now this is turning into just me thinking of things in the movie and going, yeah, that's funny. That's good. Then there's this part. Yeah, that's good too. I mean, the way that Grodin is basically introduced, like at that fancy restaurant, and he and Diana Rigg enter, and there's like, you know, a band playing jazz, and Grodin is just kind of half dancing the entire scene. He's just like wiggling his upper body, and and he just, the character is not actually like stupid, but right away, like the second he walks into frame there, you get that character so completely because, you know, he's kind of a, like, what's the right word? Not doofus, not jerk, but yeah, I just think it's a beautiful introduction. I think that character is great. Grodin crushes it completely. The gag where, during Miss Piggy's like water-based musical number, when Grodin just appears in an oval in the top corner of the frame, like lip-syncing, to like this, like, is it like opera playing? I mean, Grodin is always incredible. We all know that. The man, was a legend. But look, it's one of the great things about Muppet movies is watching really talented, like high-profile actors absolutely fully commit when acting with puppets, and Grodin gives one of the more committed performances, in all of these movies. I truly believe that he is horny for Miss Piggy, and he goes for it, and it's great. Terrific movie, and I don't want to drag this out too much by just listing every single thing in the film, but I don't want to just say, Jack Warden as the editor-in-chief of the paper. He's great. I love seeing Jack Warden. Jack Warden yelling at Muppets, terrific. But yeah, it's all really great. Thumbs up. Excellent movie. No notes.
Oh man, wasn't that great? And honestly, Patrick, it's kind of fun you got your own mini-sode to yourself, right? It's kind of better this way. Yeah, I thought so. It's actually good that I messed up. Everyone's happy this way. Thank you for listening. We'll see you again next time.
On The Great Henson Caper.
Every morning, every day, every evening, calling me away. We're almost there, come on. Every morning, every day, every evening, calling me away.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.